You may have heard me tell the story before of the visitor to New York City who had a ticket to go to a concert at Carnegie Hall. But she got lost and knew her way around. So she stopped someone on the street and asked for direction. She said, "Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Carnegie Hall?" And the person replied, "Practice, practice, practice." What do you do if you want to get good at something? You practice. It is true that some are naturally gifted, but I will guarantee you that no one made it to the Olympics this year without practicing. No one coasted in just on their own natural gifts. People look at a little child's hands and say, "Oh, she has such long fingers. Maybe she'll be a pianist." One of my favorite pianists, named Alicia de la Rocha, a Spanish pianist who died just a few years ago, had short, stubby fingers. But with practice, a lot of practice, she got to the point where she could master any piece that any other professional pianist would play, including pieces by Rachmaninoff, which generally require large hands to play. You want to be a good musician? Practice. You want to be a good athlete? Practice. You want to be a good cook? Practice. You want to be a good gardener, farmer, teacher, mechanic, husband, wife? Practice. It takes work. There's no way around it, I'm afraid. Do you want to be a good Catholic Christian? It takes practice and discipline. And that can be hard. We don't like to deny ourselves anything. At least I don't. Most people I've met don't like to deny themselves things. Big or small. Even though we know, we understand that the Christian life is not supposed to be easy, sometimes we want it to be. And sometimes we try to make it easier on ourselves. This may result in greater comfort, but it doesn't result in becoming better Christians. What happens when an athlete stops exercising? Can't do what they used to do anymore. What if they stop consulting with their coach? Probably they backslide. What happens when a pianist stops practicing? They get rusty. What happens when a Christian stops practicing? I dare say that they risk being like the people in the gospel who knock at the door, saying, "Lord, open the door to us," and hearing the master say in reply, "I do not know where you are from." I realize, for example, that sometimes people have to miss Mass for a really legitimate reason. Those times come along. And when that happens, of course, it is not a sin. But I'm continually surprised at how easily some Catholics make the decision to put off confession or to miss Mass. To be honest with you, I'm surprised at myself sometimes at how easily I will put off prayer because I want to do another crossword puzzle. Or, okay, I'm a weirdo. Or because I'm too tired. Or because I'm doing something else. I'm not exempt from that kind of thing. But I keep thinking about those 30 Christians on the shore of the sea in Libya about a year and a half ago, who were beheaded and shot because they believed in Jesus. And very often, like whenever I think about martyrs, I ask myself, what would I do in that situation? I don't know. But if I can't put down a crossword puzzle to do something for the Lord, how easily am I going to lay down my life when the opportunity comes? If I can't deny myself a TV program to spend some time with the Lord, I'm not going to survive very well when a greater trial comes. And the Lord is so good because in his wisdom he gives us these small opportunities to practice. I don't think anyone here is going to face the life or death situation tomorrow, you know, either living and denying Christ or dying and holding firm. But I can almost guarantee that all of us tomorrow will have some little thing to face, some decision to make, where the Lord is asking us a question, whether we will follow or whether we'll do our own thing. It's practice. It's practice. It's practice. In the letter to the Hebrews, we hear about discipline and how hard discipline is and how it's painful. But we know that discipline leads to growth. It leads to something better, a better place than where we're at currently. And at the end of that passage, we hear the verse, "So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees." See, I take great encouragement from that, because when I look at my own life, my own weaknesses and the trials and my failures where I need a lot more practice, I could tend to be discouraged and say, what is the Lord ever going to do with me? When am I ever going to get to the point where I can march out on that shore and give my life for him? But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be discouraged. He wants us to strengthen our drooping hands and our weak knees and make straight paths for our feet. And to take courage, because with him and with his grace and through hard work, discipline, and practice, we'll have what it takes